Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again to close the week out. We got, I guess this is kind of like a pregame, right? We got a game tomorrow, very exciting game now because we got the news yesterday that Caleb Williams and the starters will be going. Got to talk about what we want to see from that starting unit. Some of the things that we're looking to have at least some sort of answer to after the game is done. We want to know how you guys feel on it as well. So let us know in the comments below. At a minimum, make sure you're dropping a bardon down there, man. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Also, let me know in the comments below if you're like a podcast listener and a video watcher, if the audio on the podcast is still doubling. I actually saw some of the reviews where it was like, you guys were saying you're getting double podcasts, so it's like a 2-hour podcast. This ain't the Joe Rogan show. Yeah, I mean, now hopefully we can make some money like the Joe Rogan show. But this ain't the Joe Rogan show, so let us know if y'all still having that issue. Appreciate
you. Yo, Pat.
Yo.
That has been resolved. We found the issue. A little metadata thing going on. That is fixed.
Oh, okay. Well, shout out to EO jumping. I was thrown off. I went and looked at it the other day, and I was like, I guess people are getting 2.5-3-hour podcasts out here. So I'm glad that we got that fixed. Never mind. Just drop a bird down. Let's jump into the episode, man. Let's talk some Bears football because a very exciting time right now because Caleb Williams is going to get his first opportunity to go out there and play against NFL defenses, but not just Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze as well. Austin Booker also on that list. While he's kind of done that in that Hall of Fame game, right? So maybe you take him off of the list, but still seeing it possibly being able to get in there versus a quarterback who really is a little bit better. And it seems like the Bills are going to play their starters through the first quarter. So just that entire first quarter seems like you're going to get starting Bills football. So you would hope you're getting starting Bears football that entire time. One of the things that I'm really looking at, and let's start off with the defensive side of the ball. That defensive line, of course, I bring up Austin Booker. But that defensive line, you want to know some of the answers to things that we think we've seen in training camp. I mean, to me, when you talk about the players that are elite, when you talk about the players that are able to go out there and do it consistently, I've talked about Montez Sweat, how he continues to be the best player out there when he is out there. And it's because of the consistency. It's because of the consistent pressure, the consistent time that he's around the quarterback. It's because, you know, he's gotten to a point where he's kind of fake strip sacking Caleb because he got thrown out of the one practice for hitting him. Now he like runs halfway up, just puts his arms in the air and goes, y'all know I would have got him, which I love. And we've seen that level of consistency out of Jervon Dexter, somebody who we had on the podcast a couple days ago. If you didn't get a chance to watch that interview, tap in with that as well. But somebody who we had on the podcast a couple of days ago where just looks like a monster, consistently getting pressure, doing a good job pushing the pocket, doing a good job forcing the quarterback to have to vacate the pocket. I think that Jervon Dexter is our answer at the three technique position based on what we've seen out of him to start this season. But it doesn't matter if you don't do it against real competition. It doesn't matter if you don't go out there and do it against the big boys, right? And so I really want to see, can Jervon Dexter do this versus the number one defenses? His get-off looks a lot better. He looks quicker off of the ball. He looks like he's able to, gotten himself locked in that penetrating style of defense, right? It looks like he's got all the answers to the Bears' questions at three technique. But you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to see it on a consistent basis. He has to be able to stack plays. Is he going to be able to do that in that Buffalo Bills game? That's one of the things that I'm really looking closest at, because I think that when you talk about how important it is for everyone involved, how important it is for not just Jervon Dexter, but also for Montez Sweat, that Dex is elite level three technique, how important it is for Andrew Billings that he's an elite level three technique, how important it is for a guy like DeMarcus Walker, who, I'll tell you this right now, if Jervon Dexter is able to replicate what we're seeing here in practice, if he is able to go out there and consistently force that pocket, force pressure, you may not have to go out and get that guy opposite edge of Montez Sweat, because DeMarcus Walker will then turn back into that 5 to 7 sack guy, which is a good spot for you to be if you have Montez Sweat opposite of that. You just want to force that pressure, force some dual pressure from both sides. I think that the Bears will have that ability. And if Javon can do that, you get that ability to rush four. You know what that's going to do to the coverage. And, man, I'm just excited to see this starting defense. Like, it's so funny. It's preseason. By the end of the first quarter, we'll only half care. By the end of the second quarter, we basically won't care, right? Maybe there's a couple of guys that you end up seeing make the team, but I don't know, man. Like, to me, this is a situation where you can start to solidify a lot of the assumptions that we've had. How often have we heard top five defense? How often have we heard how good this defense is from the defense and from the offense as well? I guess I can't say that. We're consistently hearing it, but are we going to be able to see it when we get a real opponent that actually is trying to beat you? That's the question I want to know. Those are the things I want to see. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. What do you want to see from this defense, specifically this defensive line? I think that there's some major questions out there that we would love to see answered. And for me, it does come down to guys like Jervon Dexter. I think also the DeMarcus Walker, Jacob Martin, Austin Booker combination is one to keep an eye on as well. Like I talked about, we always hear about D-Walk as this leader, the kind of leader he wants to be, the kind of leader that he is. I love the fact that he's a leader. I love the fact that he's a vocal leader. I think that he's the perfect kind of guy. He gives off Akeem Hicks vibes, right? He gives off Akeem Hicks vibes. But when the play was called and you needed somebody in the backfield, Akeem Hicks was able to be there. Now, I think DeMarcus Walker can be that level of player. I think we've seen him be that level of player. I think he has the body type and the ability. But you got to go do it. And it starts now. The guy trying to send a message that isn't able to put, that isn't able to get the job done, that message doesn't hit as hard. And last year, while I think D-Walk had, you know, he was put in a tough position, there wasn't, you know, a true number one on the team. He wasn't really contributing as a number two either. So I love the onus. I love the want to be the leader. I love the want to say, hey, I'm the guy that's going to get these guys motivated. But that comes with being able to get the job done as well. We were at practice on what day was that? I want to say that was not yesterday. It had to be Wednesday because Carmen and Yurko had DeMarcus Walker on, and we had Jervon Dexter on. So Wednesday, and D-Walk gets through, I want to say that was Larry Borum on the other side, ends up getting past him, slams the helmet on the ground. He's losing his mind. He's screaming, here we go. Come on. Y'all can't mess with me. He didn't say mess. You know what I mean? And you saw how fired up that defense got because of that. You saw how fired up that defense got around that message. That's because he's making an impact. That's because he's getting to where he could have sacked the quarterback, where he should have sacked the quarterback. It would have been a QB sack easily. You know what I mean? Consistency at doing your job is what really speaks to the leadership that is shown on the field, on the court, wherever it is. And you don't have to be the best player. There's this belief that all your leaders got to be the best player. Nah, it helps if right, like Montez Sweat proves to be a vocal leader, it helps. If Tremaine Edmonds proves to be a vocal leader, it helps, right? On the flip side, if Caleb Williams proves to be a vocal leader, it helps. We've seen when your quarterback is not one of the leaders of your team in Jay Cutler, and that's a tough situation, right? And people have talked about that heavily. But you do not have to be the best player on your team to be the leader, but you do have to be one of the most consistent players on your team. I think about in the NBA, right? Joakim Noah was never the leader or was never the best player on those Derrick Rose Chicago Bulls teams, but he was the leader because he was consistently going to bring energy, defense, vision, and that fight. Those are the things that he brought night in and night out. Draymond Green with the Warriors, nobody would confuse him with the best player. But even Stephen Curry has said he's kind of the energy and the leader of this team, the vocal leader. So if you have guys that are like that, who, yeah, they're really good players, but they're not the best player. But they're consistent. That's when that leadership doesn't fall on deaf ears. And that's what I want to see from DeMarcus Walker this season. I want to see it start now. Let's start it in the Buffalo game, because you have to start to answer some of these questions before we get to the season. You're really only getting two games of this. You're really only getting two games of this. You got this game, and then you got the Chiefs game. Or I'm sorry, the Bengals game. That's it. And of course, they're going to count the joint practice as a game as well. They always do that, right? The joint practice is a game. Okay. All right. I appreciate you. On top of that, though, I also want to, I've got a close eye on Austin Booker. I thought Austin Booker had a really good game, just like Colin Johnson did, just like Brett Rippon did. But I think when you have a good game in that first preseason game where it's all against twos and threes, no ones are playing, no starters are playing, nothing is happening there. I think when you have a good game versus those guys, that does not just throw you into, oh, he's in the mix now. Now he's the backup. Now he's the starter. It doesn't do that to me. And I said this on the podcast we did after the Hall of Fame game with Courtney Cronin. To me, it earns you the job of now you get the opportunity to go up against the ones and twos and try and prove yourself versus them. So I would like to see a guy like Austin Booker get more run versus the ones and twos this week versus a left tackle that's going to start. I would like to see that, because I think that that is what he has earned based on the really good play that he had in that first game. I don't know why they didn't credit him a sack. Like, I mean, I've watched that play a few times and literally he falls on the quarterback. I don't know what else you need to qualify a sack there. But I mean, not statistically, but a one sack day. Multiple times beating the edge rusher. Thought that he did some really, really good things in the game. Good job. You did it versus the twos and threes. Now get in there versus the ones. Show me something. Show me why you're supposed to be a rotational piece. Show me why I should play you more than Jacob Martin. Show me why you should consistently be a part of this rotation. And it can't just be, well, you're a body that can kind of do it. Show me something. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. And if you ball out and you show out, guess what? Then maybe you're in the conversation. Now do it again. I'm going to be keeping a very, very close eye on what Austin Booker can do. Can he prove that he is a rotational piece? Can he prove that he can be consistent and do it week in and week out? That's what it comes to. You did it versus the twos and threes? Great. Great week one. Love it. That don't mean nothing in week two. I watched Dominique Robinson have a great week one versus one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Then he disappeared. Then he was non-existent after that. We didn't talk about him anymore. We forgot he was on the team. Doing it 1 week don't mean nothing. Can you do it week in and week out? That's where the best are always going to show it. Always going to show it. And Austin Booker has basically said the same thing. We got a chance to talk to him at the podium. You know, I asked him kind of what were the moves and what were the things that he felt he could do consistently. Well, he went out and showed literally everything he said. And he said that's where he's the most comfortable. Guys are going to figure you out. How do you adjust? How do you adjust? So we'll see. We'll see. That's something that I will be keeping a close eye on. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Let me know your top three things that you're going to be watching for. Let's get specific on this. Give me your top three things you're going to be watching for in this Buffalo Bills-Chicago Bears game. We will be live for the post-post game show on that. ESPN having 8 hours of coverage on this Bears game. Of course, the pre-game show, the pre-pre-game show. Let's get it all right here. With Bleck and Abdallah, the pre-game show with Sylvie and Dion. We will then have the game with our own Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Of course, J-Mac will be on the call for that. Also, going to have the post-game show with Peggy and Yurko, and then the post-post-game show with your boy, Pat the Designer, Jeff Meller. And I don't know if J-Mac is going to be joining us for that. He's going to be in Buffalo post game, maybe, maybe not preseason. Preseason, maybe, maybe we'll give him the day off. Yeah, I mean, he's doing a lot of work up there. We'll see what it ends up being. But stay tapped in with us, man. We're going to have a ton of content for you tomorrow. So, man, get ready. Bears football is back, though. Bears football is back. Football in general. I'm sitting there tapping in to, what was last night? Was that Lions, Giants last night? I'm sitting there tapped in, fully focused on this, watching this new chip in the ball rule. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm a fan yet. Look like third and inches to me. Now he's got a yard and a half to go. I don't know if I'm a fan yet. I got to see how this chip in the ball rule is going to go, man. Let us know your thoughts. I would have loved to have Yurko on for today. They got a remote going on. I'd love to have Yurko on today just to be like, Yurko, they're incorporating technology in footballs. What are your thoughts on this? Also, it will track punter distance. It will track the value of a running back, Yurko. What are your thoughts on this? Let's keep this thing moving along, man. Let's look at the offensive side of the ball. We focused in on the defense a lot. And I think that that is going to be a major focus of this team, not only just this week, but I mean, for the season. I think you're going to have to rely on this defense heavily as this offense tries to hit the ground running. Offensively, things that you're looking for. I'm sorry, guys. I know that we keep saying this on this show, and I love the those of you who are in the comments like, oh my God, there's so much panic over the offensive line. It's not that bad. All right. Yes, I am focused on the offensive line, heavily focused on the offensive line. This will be the first week where we will get to where we will get to see what I believe is basically the starting combination that you may end up having to see during the year. We saw this in walkthroughs yesterday. Braxton Jones at left tackle, Tevin Jenkins at left guard, Coleman Shelton at center, Ryan Bates at right guard, Darnell Wright at right tackle. We saw this yesterday in walkthroughs. We've seen this for a couple of practices here while Nate Davis has been out. I am watching that closely. Because just like I said yesterday, I want to see what Ryan Bates looks like against competition. That is not Andrew Billings or Montez Sweat or Jervon Dexter. Ryan Bates to me right now, and I think it's why the Nate Davis conversation is still a conversation, looks like a backup. He looks like the guy you traded for, a backup right guard who can sometimes play center. He does not look spectacular. He does not look standout, at least right now. Now, when you get in the game and you're going up against a real defensive line, could Ryan Bates look like an absolute monster out there? I think he can. I've seen him in games look really good at that right guard position. Will that consistency help Darnell Wright? That's something that I'm going to be looking for. I don't know if Darnell Wright is expected to play in this game, though. We'll see once we get the injury report. He did go out early. He played in the first team period in practice yesterday and then was pulled out. So we'll wait and see if he is going to play in that game. But to me, that right guard and that center competition, that conversation that we've been having on that, I hope that we get into the game tomorrow. And it's absolutely just, it's what you guys said. You guys were worried for nothing. This offensive line looks great. I hope that it is that. But it has not been that. I've seen a lot of Dominique Robinson in the backfield. Now, maybe Dominique Robinson turned into a star overnight and we missed it. But I didn't hear a lot of Dominique Robinson's name in that Hall of Fame game. So I am going to be heavily focused on Coleman Shelton. How is his relationship with Caleb Williams on the center to quarterback exchange? That was a struggle for the Bears here over this week, right? There was some fumbled snaps. There was some low snaps. There was some, especially in shotgun, there were some snaps that, you know what I mean? Like I said this last year, it's like watching Javi Baez back there because he's got to sit there and try and save something. And then you're doing it usually on a draw or something like that. You got to get it in the hand of your running back, and it throws the play off. And J-Mac said as much when we had him on, right? J-Mac talked about how 11 guys on offense have to do their jobs right for you to gain a single yard. Can we get to the point where we've got at least the five up front consistently doing their job right? I think the cadence issues I know that they keep saying that they have completely solved themselves, but the last couple of weeks would tell me otherwise. Because I'm still seeing false starts. I'm still seeing delay of games. I'm still seeing... Now, that is what training camp is for. That is what practice is for. I love it. Let's get it right. Let's figure it out. I want to see it in a game. And I'm heavily focused on how are the center and right guard competitions going? Well, I guess at this point, not competitions. How are your center and right guard going to fit in with everybody? How is this offensive line going to grow as a cohesive unit? And can we have some stability here? This is a win the job game. Let's be real. I think Courtney pointed to this yesterday, and this was a great point. Nate Davis understands the position that he's in, being hurt, being out, not being available. He understands that. He understands the message that the Chicago Bears have sent through the media. He understands the message that the Chicago Bears have sent to him. When we asked Ryan Poles about, when I got a chance to ask him about consistency, he says, consistency is what you want. That's how you help a young quarterback grow. And then right after that, he talked about how I don't believe that injury doesn't mean that you don't lose your job. That is a very specific thing to say when we're talking about the offensive line and there's only one competition. We thought there was a center competition, but both of those guys were healthy, so we know who we're talking about here. If Ryan Bates balls out on Saturday, tomorrow, what incentive does Flus have to put Nate Davis back in? If Ryan Bates balls out and he looks like he can be a legitimate starting right guard. I haven't seen that yet in practice. I'm waiting to see that. But some guys don't show it in practice. They show it in the game. Some guys show up when the moment's biggest. What real reason does Flus have to put Nate Davis back in? There's an offensive line job that can be won on Sunday. And realistically, there's two, right? If Coleman Shelton gets the job done right, we're not sitting here talking about looking for outside help at the center position. If Coleman Shelton gets the job done right, I mean, like you could get your solidified five this Sunday or Saturday. And I hope that we do. So I am going to be heavily focused on that position and just, you know, hoping that that's going to actually be able to show some consistency and some success. Now, of course, we're also going to be watching Caleb Williams, ladies and gentlemen. It's his first start. It's his first look against NFL defenses, but I'm watching him for some different things. I believe that Caleb Williams will be fine. I think that he can play. There's a ton of weaponry on this team. I think that he's going to be able to go out there. He's going to be able to find his weapons. There's going to be some, I'm talking about long term here. There's going to be some growing pains, but I think that he will be good. But to start this off, I need to see Caleb Williams go out there and play a quarter, Matt Eberflus, because I need a quarter of him getting the play, setting up the play, calling the play, having everybody organized, running the play. Caleb has not done that since high school. Now, is it a leg up that he's done it before? Sure. This stuff I did in high school, I still can do. I remember it, right? I played baseball in high school. I can still go out there and hit a ball. I still remember the fundamentals of things. Can I hit it as well as I hit it? Jesus, I just thought about how long ago I was in high school. 12 years ago? Dang it, I'm getting old. Can I hit it as well as I used to hit it 12 years ago? That can be used in many ways. Probably not. That's an easy joke. If somebody don't clip that, you're failing your jobs as trolls. Probably not. But I remember the fundamentals. I remember what my hitting coaches told me. So there is some of that to Caleb Williams where he's going to have a memory of this. He's going to remember how to call plays in a certain way. He's going to remember how to have a certain cadence. There's going to be that aspect of it that he's still going to be able to go out there and be comfortable with. But he hasn't done it versus the NFL. I wouldn't think that I can go out there and face Shohei Ohtani, even with Tommy John surgery, and I'm going to be able to get a hit. You got to be able to do that at an NFL level on a consistent basis. It's the main reason why I want to see him play a full quarter. It's the main reason why I want to see him go out there and get the most out of this preseason game. Play him as long as you can. If he goes down and scores a touchdown, put him back out there. If he goes down and scores another touchdown, maybe you can take it easy after that. If he goes up 14-0, I'm not gonna harp on it that much, right? Because clearly it's like, all right, he may have it. But even then, I would understand why you would still want him in there. You need that repetition. Tom Thayer said this on this very show Monday or Tuesday. He said this on this very show. You have to go out there and you want to have at a minimum 1,000 snaps in with your starting offensive line. I'll tell you this right now. I don't know if we've crossed 100 snaps with this offensive line. I don't know if we crossed 100 snaps with this offensive line because of how many changes we've had. Let's get some consistency in here. That's what I want to see. That's my number one thing that I'm watching for here from Caleb Williams. Now, if the offensive line is bad, also can you navigate that at an NFL level? We saw him do that in college. Will you be able to do that at an NFL level? Will you be able to keep your composure? Again, these are things that we saw him do at a college level at USC where he won't say it, but I'll say it. He had a horrible offensive line. He had a horrible offense. It might as well have been Colorado out there blocking for him. You know what I'm saying? He might as well have been, his offensive line was literally like every offensive line on College Football 25. Said Hutt, oh God, here we go. I got to move. At this point, I only am looking, with my dynasty, give me scramblers. Until they update it, I need scramblers. I need improvisers. I don't want field generals. I do not want a field general. I need guys that can move. Caleb Williams is a guy that can move. How are you going to navigate that again at an NFL level? Those are my biggest things that I want to see from Caleb Williams, from this offense. Right now, I think that there's a lot of good that we can see. I guess also I'm keeping my eye on the Velus Jones situation, but I'm kind of, not to say I don't care, but like this feels like it's done to me. This feels like it's kind of at like the end of its leash. I hear what Courtney was saying yesterday that they're not going to want to cut a third round pick. You don't want to give up on a young guy. But listen, at a certain point, right, like guys can jump out of pools. Guys can like guys can be phenomenal athletes. Y'all remember Shea McClellan? He was an amazing athlete. He couldn't play in the NFL. Literally, he went to the Patriots. Bill Belichick was like, you will get a Super Bowl ring when I put you in, you just run that direction. Because he was athletic. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's got great size. He is nowhere near your top five running backs on this team right now. So let me get this straight. You're telling me that right now on the wide receiver depth chart, he's behind Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, who just got here, Tyler Scott, and probably now Colin Johnson? Oh, that's five. So he's six? So he's sixth on the wide receiver depth chart. Might even be behind DeAndre Carter now that they've taken him off of kickoff. Also, he didn't do kickoff at all this week. Maybe he does kickoff in the game, but like he didn't do kickoff at all this week. So you're taking him off there. So he may be seven. In the running back room, He's not better than DeAndre Swift. He's not better than Khalil Herbert. He's not better than Roschon Johnson. He's not better than Ian Wheeler. He's not better than Travis Homer. So he's sixth in the running back room as well? Guys, come on. Prove me wrong. This is day four of him playing running back. Maybe it works out. Maybe he doesn't. Prove me wrong, though. Show me something. End around big play. Something. Show me why they're trying to turn you into Cordarrelle Patterson or a Deebo Samuel type of player. Show me something. You got the size. You got the speed. The one thing that you don't have now is time to not show out. And that's where it's at with Velus for me right now. Outside of that, I guess the running back room is a little bit interesting. It'll be good to see DeAndre Swift. I'm not going to lie. Very shifty player. I said shifty on that. A very shifty player. I think that he does a really good job of not only being just a really good running back, but also a really good receiver for the Bears as well. Who's that backup guy? Who's the guy that's not replaceable? I'll tell you what, with this offensive line, really seems like we're going to see a lot of Roschon Johnson. Everybody's sitting there like, well, he's not a better runner than Khalil Herbert. Yeah. But he's the only one back there who's going to protect Caleb. And I'll tell you what they care about more than anything, keeping Caleb off the ground. Running back situation is going to be very interesting. Who is going to lock up that backup running back role? Is it going to be Khalil Herbert? Is it going to be Roschon Johnson? And what makes this interesting now is we saw Khalil Herbert returning kickoffs, which I don't believe he's done. I think he's returned punts, but I don't think he's returned kickoffs. Or maybe I got that backwards, one or the other. But the new rule kind of speaks to having a running back there for kickoff. It's basically like trying to get through the offensive line. Now, Khalil Herbert is better going to the outside than he is going up the middle with that, but he has an ability to go up the middle. We know that. He's done this before. So I am incredibly, incredibly excited by this game. I'm incredibly focused on. Those are my things that I'm most focused on. Of course, there's smaller things on the team, right? Backup DBs, linebackers that I'm really looking in at. I just love seeing Jack Sanborn go out there and play football at times. But realistically speaking, like those are the things that I think are the big storylines. Can we get some answers to those now that the starters are playing? Like I said before, man, let me know you guys' thoughts in the comments below. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. What are your top three things that you're looking for from this game Saturday versus the Bills? We'll be live everywhere on ESPN 1000, so tap in with us. Also live over on YouTube as well. As always, man, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Let's go get a dub. I take a dub. 2-0 in preseason, I take a dub. Although I think winning in preseason doesn't really work in our favor during the season. I think there is a stat on that. Like, we usually end up struggling when we dominate preseason. Y'all stay safe on the Chicago.